What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Monday. It is 2:30, and that means I'm joined by our good friends at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Very special guest today. Her name is Mia Ives-Rubley. She's the Senior Director for Disability Justice Initiative at CPAT. AF. I got to get the acronym right. One day I'll get all of the alphabet salad correct all the time. The Center for American Progress Action Fund. She is one of the nation's foremost disability justice advocates and organizer. She founded the Women's March Disability Caucus. Thank you for that, Mia. She's also worked on disability justice and inclusion with several progressive organizations, including Families Belong Together and DC Action Lab. Thank you so much for making time, Mia. It's a real pleasure to have you this afternoon.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for asking to have me on.
Absolutely. There's lots that is scary about Project 2025. It's scary for women. It's scary for people in the LGBTQIA community, but it's also scary for people who advocate for disability justice. Tell us a little bit about what Project 2025 is proposing to do that would make life so much more difficult. And frankly, some areas of life may be inaccessible for folks with disabilities.
Most definitely. You know, I think that what people should realize is that Project 2025 basically takes a wrecking ball through all the established structures that actually help disabled people be able to stay in their community, live, work, go and get an education, and have a fulfilling life. And so, you know, when we looked at sort of the document, we took sort of a fine mesh comb through all of the different parts of the Project 2025 document, and where we saw the most interesting sort of attacks and sort of the ones that would have the greatest impact on the disability community include within the education sphere, within healthcare, within employment, social benefits that disabled people rely on, and just the general enforcement of the Civil Rights Act that was passed in 1990 by a conservative, the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Yeah, it is. Just to recap, there's basically not an area of U.S. law or regulatory system as it relates to disabled folks that Project 2025 does not basically promise to dismantle. We're talking about access to transportation. We're talking about educational access and equity. We're talking about workforce protections. It's all of those. Mia, if we could start a bit about the attacks on ensuring access to education, because I think that one is going to strike right at the heart for so many of us. Have kids, have family members, have good friends that need the protections that the Department of Education helps enforce and helps investigate.
Yeah, so the education part is particularly interesting. And I think much of the work that was started with Betsy DeVos in the previous
administration. Yes.
And what we saw was basically the deregulation of education across the United States. And there are a couple of different laws that particularly impact the disability community, including the IDEA and the Rehab Act. Those are two of the, you know, leading pieces of legislation that help ensure that disabled people are able to access free and accessible education, particularly within the communities that they live in. Before those, a lot of times disabled people were put in these separated schools. They weren't allowed to be educated amongst their peers. And these laws actually ensured that individuals with disabilities were able to receive a general education that was on par with everybody else. And so what Project 2025 does is, one, it makes it so that it is very unclear that IDEA and Rehab Act would actually apply to education as a whole, because what it does is it actually takes all of that education funding from the federal government that comes from the Department of Education and puts it into these special individualized education funds that are run by quote-unquote nonprofit organizations. And that becomes a question of, okay, these laws specifically target federal spending. So if you put it into subcontracts, are these individuals required to abide by the same laws that they were required to when it was just general funding to states to go into funding of schools? So that's a major question of, will it actually cover you when you are going to these sort of privatized school systems that are going to be basically what it says is no strings attached.
Yeah, it's really scary because it's not just privatization of education, which the movement to do this is long. It ties back to Jim Crow. It's a way to segregate schools, right? But it's not here. It's the privatization, not just of general education, but it's the privatization of where the funds go that is specifically to assist special needs and special education.
Correct.
And that is so almost in a standardless way. Like, that is what's being proposed in Project 2025, as well as basically making coordination virtually non-existent. Like, the Department of Education exists for a whole gamut of reasons. One is consistency of application, right? Ensuring that all students, all young people get access regardless of their differing abilities or needs. And when you start to siphon off the funds, give it to private organization with very little to zero oversight, and it's different buckets of funds going to different organizations, it basically will create chaos with very little oversight. Or am I overstating? I mean, when I looked at it, I went, oh my goodness.
You are not overstating it. And one of the things that Project 2025 does is it actually takes all of special education and puts it into ACL. Which is for community living. And that ensures that there is absolutely no coordination between the quote unquote special education, which again is just going to be now a grant that has no strings attached, meaning there's absolutely no oversight on it. So they could utilize those funds for however they want, and could be reallocated to other things other than just, you know, special education. And, you know, it means that they're not coordinating with the rest of the programs that are intended to ensure that students generally get the same education.
Yeah, that, again, it is so brazen and shocking and yet utterly unsurprising at a certain level that it, if I'm going to summarize this, when you look at Project 2025 as it relates to special needs education and what we've all now come to expect, individualized educational programs or IEPs, basically it just takes all of that completely off the board. It's a wholesale privatization and intentional fracturing of the entire federal regulatory and funding system that assists children with special needs to access fair and equitable education. Period, point blank.
Right.
And if that wasn't enough, Mia, I'm so offended by the fact that there is a presumption that specialized schools for the deaf or blind are going to be basically be defunded.
Yeah. Yeah. These are programs and schools that were established because in the beginning there was no education for the deaf or blind individuals. And these programs are essential, one, because you know, the deaf community in and of itself is a community of people that have established connections across the United States through these universities, created their own unique culture, and have provided a lot of opportunities for not only deaf people, but non-deaf people, non-blind people, by providing education that allows them to go into specific sectors of that community to provide services like interpreting. And so, you know, Gallaudet is one of the leading schools that help teach interpreters how to interpret.
We should defund that. As just a small tangent, Mia, and I'm sure you're aware of this factoid, I just read that it was reported somebody did a deep dive into the campaign disclosure of their spending. And it was fascinating to me that the Harris-Waltz campaign has spent tens of thousands of dollars on interpreters for various events. Mm-hmm. And the Trump-Vance campaign has spent $0. What was your reaction when you read that news, Mia?
You know, it just shows how... You know, one thing that I love to hear is, you know, people talking about the budget tells you exactly what your priorities are.
What your values are.
And that specifically shows where their priorities are. They have no prioritization of actually doing outreach to the disability community. And it shows.
Yeah, it's to me, if we can be completely politically transactional about this, which I don't like to be, because... every human has innate dignity and should have access to education and a fair workplace and transportation to get them to their doctors and grocery stores and houses of worship. But on a purely transactional political perspective, Mia, it strikes me as so sickening because conservatives have people that they love too, that have special needs and that are disabled. And that seems to be of little to no concern because the agenda is not about how does government serve all of us and every American. It's about implementing and then sort of solidifying a very narrow Christian nationalist exclusionary version of fascism, you know, posing as democracy. It's just... I don't understand it. It's like, it's not just liberals and progressives that have people with different needs in their families. When you're
exactly,
go ahead.
Yeah, one thing that I want to note is that the disability community is actually getting bigger. We've seen a 10% increase since the beginning of the pandemic. That means that everybody everywhere knows somebody with a disability, whether they're willing to identify as disabled or not. And so that's partially due to things like COVID. It includes aging, it includes issues with the healthcare system. And so to not actually develop a strategy to ensure these individuals are able to, one, stay in community, two, be a part of this economy is short-sighted.
It's very short-sighted. I think about, again, being part of the economy. If you're a purely capitalistic-driven person, hey, we've got incredible talent here. Folks, this is my very special guest for today's segment with the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Her name is Mia Ives-Ruble. She's the Senior Director for their Disability Justice Initiative. She's one of the nation's foremost disability justice organizers. We're going to come back and we're going to talk more about what Project 2025 is trying to do to workforce protections for folks in the disability community, because I guarantee you, every single one of us knows and loves somebody that has special needs or that is disabled, and we need to do right by every single person in our community, meeting folks exactly where they are. That is an American value. It is a Wisconsin value, and I'm so glad I've got Mia here to help us better understand the threat that's posed by Project. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to take care of some business, and we'll be right back. Keep it locked.